Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
The Holy Spirit is perhaps the least recognized, the most contentious, most overpowering person of the Godhead. As a matter of fact, the gifts he gives have separated the church into two groups. Those who are very selective in what they believe the gifts are, and those who deny the gifts as coming from God. Instead, folks are told that gifts are a sideshow of the devil. The truth lies here in this body. It lies here. The truth. The Barma Research Group conducted a study of born-again people. It was a rather selective study because it only talked about those born-again people. And they asked them, they said, how many of you who say you're born-again have heard of spiritual gifts? 71% of the born-again people said they had heard of spiritual gifts, but only 31% of those born-again people could say that they possessed one of the gifts. That's an equivalent of 22% of the adult population of the born-again group of people that the research group looked at. What do you think it is in the general population? Jesus said, we have not, for we ask not. We ask not aright. That's what the Bible teaches. What do you think it means when we deny all that God is? 68% of the born-again people say they do not have any kind of spiritual gift. The most common gifts that the people say they have or believe that they have are teaching. That's 7%. 7% helps and service. 4% knowledge, 4% mercy, and 3% tongues. 31% of the born-again group believes that they have gifts that are love, kindness, relationships, singing, and listening. These are not gifts that are described in the Bible. They're character traits that every one of us should have, but they're not gifts. The character traits of loving, of listening, of speaking, of kindness, of listening to someone who's hurting, those are, in fact, traits that Jesus told us to live by. But they're not the gifts. My own personal feeling is that when someone calls Jesus into their life to be Lord of their life, Savior of their soul, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives them a spiritual DNA just like Jesus. That's what allows us to be manifested into the likeness of Christ Jesus. That is my own personal belief. Because Jesus said that if you would open the door of your heart, He and the Father would come in and sup with you. He said that He would send a comforter, because He was not going to be here with us. He would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to come and live with us and live within us. It means that we have all that we need to be conformed into followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord, including all the gifts which God uses as He sees fit when He wants us to express those divine insights and gifts. Let us pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, I ask that You come and cast out every doubt, every fear, every prejudice, every action that we may take to try to avoid Your truth. May Your truth, sink into each and every one of us, saturating us with not only Your character traits, but with the gifts that You have given to us to war against Satan, to war against the imperfections of this world, in order that we might bring everything under Your feet, under Your control. Father, we ask that You would do what only You can do, that You would cast out my words. My words are nothing. My words are the words of a man, a silly, stupid man. But that You would speak to each heart here with Your voice. That we should all understand Your gifts. The gift that began with life. The gift that comes through Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift that You freely give us of salvation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. May we understand to a greater degree than we do what You want us to do with the gifts that You have given to us. Are we to keep them wrapped up, hidden away someplace? Are we to open them and let You disperse them as You see fit? Father, this is the choice that faces each of us today. May each of us be pleasing in what we do in Your sight, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one, speaking of the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another differing kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. That is the Word of God. Because spiritual gifts are to be used for the common good rather than a private treasure to the recipient, they might be seen as tools, not as trophies. The difference between tools and trophies may be seen in two different kinds of cars. A trophy car is one that is perfect in every way. Its upholstery is spotless, not worn. It's perfect. Its paint is without any scratches or dent. It's not faded in any way. It is perfect. When you turn it on, everything works. Everything. It is never parked any place except in a very clean garage and carried by trailer to a show where they're showing trophy cars. A work car, on the other hand, is a tool. It is one that may be owned by a painting contractor. It has dents and scratches, the result of equipment sliding back and forth, bumping into it. Has paint on its fenders, perhaps because the painter forgot to put the can's lid on tight enough. It's upholstery is tattered and worn and spotted because of the overalls the painter wears, which are old and spotty and tattered, and because of the sweat that he has from working out in the sun all day. These two cars are not only different in their appearance, they're different in their impact. While the trophy car is admired for its beauty, it is totally a failure when it comes to the normal purposes for which it was made. A work car, on the other hand, has nothing to admire in its appearance. There's nothing to admire. You don't go out and say, "Oh, wow, that's a trophy car." The old painter struck. But it has been put to useful service for which it was made. It has transported its crew and equipment from job site to job site over many years of work. When a trophy is placed where people can see it, and I have done that, you now have to look hard to find them. But I did that. Trophy is something for people to see and admire the work that went into. The Holy Spirit gives gifts that are tools that are to be used sometimes unnoticed, quietly. The Spirit speaks in a still, small voice. It is certainly not placed in a place for it to be admired and kept away from the people who need it. Verse 4 through 6 in the text consists of three statements that find unity in the Holy Spirit's design. Paul notes that there are several gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. They are used through you and me and everyone who has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. There are several ministries that express these same gifts, but there is one Lord for whom all the ministries are done. People are always saying to me, oh, well, this church is big or this church. It doesn't matter how large a congregation is. It doesn't matter how many visitors are there. It doesn't matter how many people it serves. If it does so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has earned its place. There are different outcomes or effects. But there is one God who is all in all. One God who uses all of these gifts to work together for good for those for whom it was intended. In verse 7, we're told that these gifts and their use is not given to the recipient to be used for his or her own edification or advancement, but for the common good. God is the one that we serve, not ourselves. We don't draw attention to ourselves by saying, we have this gift, or we have that gift, or blah, 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 blah. You know, we don't do that. We try humbly to give credit to the Lord. There are different outcomes, but He is the one who is being served. He is to receive all the glory. He is to receive all the glory. You know, that was once in a church where someone said, I will teach you to speak in tongues for thus much money. What is wrong with this statement? First of all, the Bible tells us that you can't do that. That's wrong. But I'm sure the person made quite a bit of money doing it. God's gifts are identified here in this list. This list is not exhaustive, but it covers a broad range of ministry. Among the gifts is the word wisdom, which is generally understood to be a clear insight of the doctrine of redemption and the ability to communicate that teaching of redemption to others by word and deed. Then we find the word of knowledge, which most likely refers to unusual insight into spiritual truth. We need all of these gifts. We need to know. Jesus said, He only spoke what He heard the Father speak. He only did those things which He knew the Father directed. And He was in perfect alignment with Father. Among the gifts, we find faith. Faith is a gift, lest no man should boast that they have faith, but that usually refers to relying on God's promises, relying on the hope of God's word, that we find faith to carry on the work which is to be done. Then there are the gifts of healings and miracles, which are given to display divine power to cure diseases, and supernatural works as seen in the Acts of the Apostles. Another gift is prophecy, which refers to edifying, exhorting, consoling through the preaching of the Word of God. Next is the discerning of spirits, which involves exceptional discernment between true and false teachers and teaching. Then we encounter the gift of tongues and their interpretation, involving those languages that may not be intelligible to all, spoken by and explained by those gifted to do so. We have people in various traditions may understand the gifts differently. And we have to have enough mercy and grace to allow that. I remember we were feeding people out here, and you've heard this many times, but we were feeding people on Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving, we feed lots of people. And on that particular Thanksgiving, we fed a whole lot of people, 2,483 people. And we never advertised. We didn't need to. Word of mouth got out. There was free, good food to be had here. People stretched all the way, four abreast, all the way to the school, all the way down the sidewalk, all the way up here. This sanctuary was full. There was another line that reached there, and that place was full. The activity center was full. Everything was full. And one guy who was there just for the feeding decided that he thought people looked hungry. Well, yeah. I don't think that was a word of knowledge. They were hungry, and it didn't take any spiritual gift to see that they were hungry, but he thought they were. And he was giving people lots of turkey, and it was his position on the line to give out turkey. And he was giving out turkey out of a little thing about this big, and he was giving the turkey, and so he said to his wife who was standing behind him, please make sure that you let me know when they come and replenish the turkey, so I know how much to give out. Thousands of people went through the line. He turned and looked at his wife and said, how many times have they replenished this turkey? She said, they haven't. He said, what? They even asked the guy from Prestonwood who was running the line at that time, how many times had he called for turkey to the kitchen? And he said, none. At the same time, at the other end of the line, we have a thing where you get your drink. It's not anything special. It's just water mixed with a powder, which comes out as a lemonade. And so they had sent word back down the line. I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But that people should just be getting themselves some water, because they were running out of lemonade. There were thousands of people going through. And so people decided, okay, well, we'll do that. They didn't buy enough lemonade mix. Except that they never ran out of lemonade. 2,483 people went through. There was still lemonade there. Now, I didn't do this. I don't know anybody who did do that, except God the Father did that. He provided a way where there was no way. You know, on that particular day, we had 12 bags of turkey that we gave out, 12 being a symbol of loaves and fishes. But we gave out to the people who were going home. We said, "You want a bag?" And they took the bag of turkey. We have never run out of food. Every Tuesday. This lady here, who runs our food pantry, calls up time after time after time after time trying to order food. Sometimes we pay for the food, don't we, Peggy? Sometimes we don't. And the food comes, but we've never run out. You realize that we have over 1,000 people registered for food, but they never come more than 230 or 250 at a time. Am I right? We've never run out of food. They could all come on one particular Tuesday, but they don't. That's a God thing. God does that. God has, by His input, allowed us to do things that we could have never done. Because of God's grace and God's mercy. Because He gets all the glory. I go into groups of pastors all the time that are trying to give me some glory. And they'll say, "Oh, well, you did this. And I, well, you're doing a wonderful thing." And I go, "I'm just trying to keep out of the way. I'm not doing anything. I promise you." Most of you can say, "Yes, that's true. Amen." "No, I don't want you to do that." The Holy Spirit gives gifts, not to you, but through you to the masses of people around the world. God does that. God ministers to a world in need by His gifts through people who are unworthy to hold them, like you and me. Oh, there'll be arguments about various gifts from time to time. We need to remember this, that God is the giver of all gifts. God is the giver of all. Every gift that He gives is divine in its origin. Who am I to say that someone else's gift is to be thrown away? You know, sometimes people don't open a gift at Christmas time. Or a birthday. You've done something, you picked it out, you want them to open it in front of you so you can see their expression, and that's the reward you get for seeing how happy they are with something you gave. How would you feel if you never had that expression of how they? If you gave a gift to someone who didn't unwrap it, put it away, to repurpose, to give to somebody some other time, how would you feel? God feels that way every single day because we are not humbling ourselves to His service to allow Him to distribute through us the gifts He has given to a world in need. And when we turn away, when we do things that are wrong, and we know it's wrong. God is hurt. Because that's one hungry person, that's one person who will not receive the gift he intended them to receive. Because we have been selfish about keeping it for ourselves. Putting it on a place where people can admire it, and treating it like a trophy. That's not what God.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.